Good morning. Greetings in the name of Christ. It's really good to be with you all this morning. Good to see all these young faces up here too. Reminds me a little bit about a story I heard years ago about a church that was designing, a church group was designing a new church house. And the preacher said, I want to design the pews. And the congregation said, that's fine as long as we can design the pulpit. And so they did that, and the first morning that they had service together, they had there was only one row of benches in the very far back, and so everybody sat on that bench, and then the preacher pushed a button, and the bench came all the way to the front, and then there was another bench that popped up, and so on, until he had everybody there, right, all the way at the front, And so he had such a good time preaching to them. They were all right there. And he sort of got carried away, and he kept on preaching for quite a while. And 12 o'clock came, and all of a sudden, a trapdoor opened, and he disappeared. So we'll try not to take advantage of you being this close, but it's good to have you all here, and it's good to have all the home folks here as well. I was thinking about it. I stopped by and watched you all play volleyball a little bit last night and build impressive structures out of marshmallows and spaghetti. It was very interesting. I was thinking, it's just good to see y'all doing that kind of thing together and here for a weekend of music and fellowship and doing things like that. It's just a real blessing. And I'm used to seeing some of you at Bible school, and it's a little bit like that here. But I know how it is to go to a place for the purpose of meeting God. And I hope I'm sure that's what you all had in mind. Let's do this weekend event together. I'd like to grow in the Lord. I'd like to be with friends. I would like to enjoy music and good conversations and maybe some good volleyball. But I'd like to meet God there. And, you know, often we do this thing where we go somewhere to do something to meet God. And it looks different times. And, like, for Bible school, that's something that parents and preachers and people who are concerned about young people are interested in young people. They said, let's do this thing for them so that they can meet God at Bible school. This event is also something somebody dreamed up, and they said, let's do this event. This would be a good event for young people to do together. They can meet God there. And we do these things intentionally. Let's go and let's meet God. You're here on Sunday morning, and that's hopefully what we're here for. Let's go worship. But I'd like if you would turn with me over to Genesis 28, story of somebody who met God, and it was not something that he was expecting. And the title of the opening this morning is Stone Pillows and Heavenly Ladders. So the context here is Jacob is running from Esau. Esau was wanting to kill his brother Jacob. He was furious with him because Jacob had usurped him, had stolen his birthright from him. And Jacob was fleeing from his brother who wanted to kill him. And he was on a trek from Beersheba to Haran, where his mother's family was. And I looked it up. The distance from Beersheba to Haran is about 500 miles. That's like walking out the church door here and heading for Chicago. Chicago is about 500 miles away. It's a long ways. It took a long time for him to get there. And the distance from Beersheba to where Jacob spent his first night, incidentally, is about 70 miles. That's a long ways to go in one day. It might give you a little bit of a picture of how anxious Jacob was to get away from Esau. And I'm suspicious, not absolutely confident, but I'm suspicious that there's some weariness here in the crowd as well. I detected that the volleyball last night, the usual leaps were about, you weren't getting them. I'm sorry. they weren't playing as well as they often play. They were a little tired. And I'm suspicious that they're going to carry some of that weariness here this morning. Maybe you got a good night's sleep. I hope you got a good night's sleep. But Jacob was exhausted, right? He was wiped out, and he fell into sleep after this 70-mile trek on one day. I don't know if he had a camel that he was going with or how it was, but anyway, he fell asleep. He just put his head on a rock and fell asleep. And that's what was going on when here in verse 12, it says he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob didn't go to meet God. He was fleeing from his brother Esau. He was fleeing for his life. And yet God met him that night. Things are not always as they seem. We walk in the presence of God, and he meets us at the most unlikely times, at least unlikely for us. Now, it is absolutely possible for us to meet God by intention. We go and we seek him. And yet he's invisible to people sometimes who think they are seeking him. God meets us wherever we are willing to meet him. And that's when we are willing to meet him, is when we are willing to meet him on his terms. Those are the places that we meet God. If we demand of God that he meet us here, and we are not willing to follow him, we will find ourselves lonely. The devil accuses us of our mistakes and sins and faults. Jacob had just made a huge mistake, sin, fault, and he was paying the consequences for it. And the devil accuses us when we are in this place. But it's interesting to me that instead of accusing him, that God met him in that place of hardship that he brought on himself. And so many times I think when we make a mistake or we do something that we know is wrong or we find ourselves in a pickle because that was stupid. Why did I do that? That we can sit there and accuse ourselves. Or maybe we see somebody else who made a mistake, who did something stupid, who committed a sin, and we accuse them. Notice what God did instead is he appeared to Jacob and he showed him an alternate ending to his path. And the path that Jacob was on at this moment was one, really, quite frankly, of terror and just fleeing from bad stuff. And God showed up and said, let me show you this alternate ending to your life, to your story. And I think that's so beautiful that when we are in a place that many times is a result of our own choosing, our own bad choices, or we are in a place of difficulty that we ourselves placed ourselves in, that God meets us in that place and he says, here, let me show you another path. You walk with me, you follow me. This is what your life will look like. You ever think about it? What would have Jacob's life looked like if he had not deceived Esau? If he had not usurped the blessing? How do you think the Bible story would have been different? We don't know. You can't tell. How would God have worked? Would God have worked? Yeah, he would have. But we don't know that story. It's a story that was never written. And sometimes we look at the mistakes that we make and we obsess about what could have been, the story that could have been, if only I hadn't done that stupid, stupid thing. If only I hadn't made that decision, then my life could have been so good, but it's wrecked. and then we're just done. That's not the way God works. He continues to write your story, and he will meet you in that place of your own failing and pull you forward. So don't ever give up. He hasn't given up on you. Often God meets us in the really hard times. 2 Kings 6:15, you have the story of Elisha and his servant when you've got the enemy army all gathered around the city. And the servant gets up early in the morning and he goes out to look at the sunrise coming up over the city walls. And he looks out and there's this army all around the city. And he asks the guardsmen what's going on. And they say, oh, the king of Syria is coming. They're going to kill Elisha. And he just totally panics. This is awful. This is terrible. What are we going to do? And he goes rushing back and he wakes up Elisha and he drags him up there and he says, we're going to be killed. This whole army is here for us. They're going to kill us. And, we love this story. Elisha just looked at him and he said, okay, let's pray. And he says, this is in 2 Kings 6, verse 16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Wherever you are, that is where God is. Now, you can be involved in things that are sinful and unhealthy, and God isn't in the sin, but he's there waiting for you to turn to him. Or you can be involved in really wonderful things, good things, and God is there waiting for you there as well. But he's always meeting people when they are willing to meet him on his terms. He's invisible to us when we want to control him. We always worship, and worship is the natural result of meeting God. We always worship as a result of a conscious or an unconscious cry for help. I don't think Jacob was necessarily crying out for a meeting with God, but he was, even though he didn't know it. It's like his heart was longing for this. We need the Lord, and we meet him when we need him, when we're willing to meet him on his terms. Words and gifts without a deep sense of our need for God will not result in a connection with God. They're just words. They're just gifts. They don't actually connect. So whatever you're doing, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, develop the practice of looking for God in your world, of following in the footsteps of Jesus. He is there, knocking. He's ready to open your eyes. He's ready to show you what could be a path of meaning and purpose and eternal life. So whether it's beautiful music or a stone pillow, the Lord is near. Are you looking for him? Are you willing to follow him? Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. May you meet God wherever you are, and may he direct your steps. Shall we stand together for prayer?